Rosie Cohn was a pillar of the community. Everybody loved Rosie. She was a member of Sisterhood, supported Hadassah, went to shul every Shabbos. She never questioned the role Judaism played in her life. One day, Rosie's friends were shocked. Rosie was taking a trip, not a vacation to Florida or a cruise. Rosie was going to India to see a guru. No one could believe it. The journey was exhausting. Rosie took two planes, a bus, and then a trip up a mountain in a battered taxi. Finally, she arrived at the monastery. After a night of rest, Rosie was greeted by a disciple of this spiritual master. He told Mrs. Cohn that each pilgrim was allowed to say only three words to the teacher. He offered to sit and help her collect her thoughts. Rosie thanked the old man but said, "I'm ready." The acolyte was surprised. Still, he was taught to honor the guest. Rosie waited in line all morning as many people approached the sage. Finally, her turn came. She stood before the spiritual master, looked him in the eye, and said, "Sheldon, come home." You must know Rosie. The story introduces the challenge of modernity. Our search for ideals and values. All jokes are based on truisms, and this tale combines three insights. First, people are searching for meaning. With material success, how do we find fulfillment? With setbacks, how do we draw inspiration? Next, many people in the Jewish world seek answers outside of our community. Some explore Eastern religions. For others, it's a life coach. For others, it's a macrobiotic diet. And finally, Sheldon, come home. We love Judaism, know there is meaning if we can only find the way. The High Holidays are a time when we seek inspiration. I especially relate to this quest. I was raised in a Reform synagogue with a passion for social justice, with Jewish summer camps with NIFTY. For the last 15 years, I've been in the world of Jewish spirituality. Yes, that includes meditation, mystical texts, and yoga. Let's be honest, with this 60-something body, watching me do yoga poses is not a pretty sight. I have a private lesson tomorrow. Of all of the Jewish paths, one of the most radiant comes from the Hasidic master Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav, who lived in the 18th century. He spoke to the Jews of Poland who lived in poverty and fear of pogroms. Rabbi Nachman taught the power of joy. He said, "Mitzvah gedola liyot besimcha tamid." It's a great mitzvah to be happy, to be joyful, always to be happy. What a remarkable saying. It's a great mitzvah to be happy. It almost doesn't sound Jewish. Thinking of the span of our history, some people could call us the eternally suffering people. With the atmosphere in many synagogues, you wouldn't call us the eternally joyful people. But contrary to stereotypes, this value pervades our tradition. We can bless the new year and renew our lives by affirming the ideal of joy, seeing joy as the source of healing, and using joy to bring redemption to the world. Joy in Judaism. Am I making it up? No. Joy encompasses our holidays, the Torah, and celebrations of life. At Pesach, we say a Zisen Pesach, a sweet Passover. Sukkot in the prayer book is called Zman Simchatenu, the time of our joy. Beyond Happy Hanukkah, we say Chag Or V'Sameach, have a holiday of light and joy. The Torah is a book of joy. One of my favorite verses, worship the eternal with joy, come before God with delight. In the prayer book, when the Torah is returned to the ark, we say, is a tree of life to all who hold fast to it, and all its supporters are happy. And what is a bat mitzvah, a bar mitzvah, or a wedding without dancing the hora? But joy goes beyond celebration to form a path to healing. The Hasidic revolution of the early 1700s came in response to an early intellectualism which alienated people from our faith. Besides the scholar as a hero, there developed the motto of the Hasid, a faithful person who served God with love of the heart. Rabbi Or Rose in the book God in All Moments said, beginning with the Baal Shem Tov, the Hasidic masters insist that excessive guilt and sadness deplete spiritual energy and have far greater negative consequences than do minor imperfections in our religious life. He quotes the Baal Shem Tov who said, always be joyous, for sadness is an obstacle to serving God. Rabbi Nachman carried it a step further. He said, there are those who suffer terrible distress and are unable to tell what they feel in their hearts. They go this way and that and suffer. But if they meet one with a laughing face, he can revive them with his joy. So how do we practice this ideal? How is the joy of faith, a laughing face, different from Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, Fallon, or Samantha Bee, or heaven forfend, Billy Crystal? Had to work that in, you knew it was coming. So my teacher of joy was Natalie Bernstein. She was one of the founders of North Shore Synagogue, my congregation in New York. Natalie's an extraordinary woman. She was born in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and said, I came to Oyster Bay as a young bride to be with her husband, Herman. She had this amazing warmth. One year, I asked her to talk to the confirmation class. She stood at the door, introduced herself, and greeted each student as they entered the room. Natalie's teaching to me was initially about leading services. One evening after the oneg, she took me aside and said, Rabbi, you know that I like you, but you, when you lead services, you need to smile. You're much too serious. For the next month, she thanked me each time I led services with a smile. I realized that her lesson was about much more than worship. It was about life. Greeting people with the warm face of a smile opens your heart and lifts the hearts of others. Rabbi Joseph Telushkin emphasized this when he wrote, Shammai said, receive all people with a cheerful expression. This admonition is not limited to acquaintances and people we meet in the street. It's particularly important that we practice such behavior in our own homes. I once heard a middle-aged man describe how his father's eyes lit up when his older brother walked into a room, but never when he did. Years of living in a home where he seldom experienced his father's cheerful expression left this man feeling unloved and unworthy of being loved. A proverb says, the person who shares a smile with a friend is better than one who nourishes him with milk to drink. Smiles are food for the soul. Joy changes our lives as we think of relating to the world with what I love to call a Shabbos heart. The power of Shabbat is that each week it brings us together not just for worship, but ideally for meals, songs, and stories to celebrate with family and friends. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel said, "On 6 days a week, we live under the tyranny of things of space. On Shabbat, we turn from the results of creation to the mystery of creation." A Shabbos heart transcends the mere observance of the day. It teaches us how to affirm joy. In a world where we often focus on inadequacies and flaws, the spiritual message of Shabbat is to train ourselves to look for the blessings in our lives, the best of others, to ask ourselves the question, what is one good thing that's happened in the past week, past day, or even past hour, to live with a Shabbos soul? This is the question that I ask each week as I prepare for Shabbat, and often each evening as I reflect on my day. It's a question that I share with students of all ages, from nursery school, middle school, teenagers, and adults, so we learn together to live the words of Rabbi Nachman and make joy a way of life. But now here is the challenging question. Will the practice of joy turn failures into successes or protect us from sorrows? What about tyranny and evils in the world? We must live with humility in the presence of the grief of others and cannot ignore the reality of people who suffer. However, in this place of transcendence, beyond definition, here, joy provides a spark to confront darkness and restore the light. A modern Jewish musician and mystical teacher shared this lesson. He told of visiting the last shul in Krakow and writing a nigun. And the first part is like a dirge, he said, to remember the 6 million. He penned this melody. He gave voice to the composition. Rabbi said, "When I began to sing this sad melody, I looked through all of the tears, and I could see them, all of the 6 million, looking back at us and saying, 'Is this the way to go to Jerusalem? Why don't you dance?'" And the Krakower Nigun was born. The canter. Oh, I. The crack over Nigun leads us to the way joy can bring healing and renewal to our lives, the power of caring in community. At times of crisis, illness, death of loved one, a setback, we often feel alone. Pain causes us to turn inward. Isolation magnifies the grief because by ourselves we cannot see a way to change or a path to hope. The rabbis emphasize the power of relationship. The Midrash says Rabbi Yochanan once fell ill and could not rise until Rabbi Hanina helped him. They asked, why couldn't Rabbi Yochanan raise himself? And replied, the prisoner cannot free himself from jail. In relationship, we find the spark of hope to bring renewal. The essence of Judaism is community. The mitzvah of a wedding is to celebrate with the bride and groom. Prayers recited in a minyan, and a party is held when we finish a section of learning. The dance of Jewish life is the hora. Our people learned ages ago that life challenges are real. The way to respond is by building a community of faith which laughs, cries, and dances together. It's a great mitzvah to be happy. May we, in this new year, embrace our joys, nourish the gifts of our hearts, cherish the love of our family and friends, live with a joyous smile and Shabbos heart. Through joy, may we bring healing, hope, and redemption. Yai, 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 yai